Hello, and welcome to another episode of Dice Exploder. Each week, we take a tabletop RPG mechanic and wander off into the wilderness with it for a nice hike. I'm Sam Dunnewald, and my co-host today is Morgan Nuncio. I know Mo from Pickup One-Shots in a private Discord server, and then after a few of those, I got my head out of my ass and realized they're one of the main people helping organize Big Bad Con, the best con in the whole damn world. I've been to like two cons, so I totally know what I'm talking about here. Anyway, Mo is an organizer, a great actual play performer, an enthusiastic fan, and just a delight. And they brought in Cramped Quarters, a move from Uncharted Worlds, an early sci-fi on a spaceship powered by the Apocalypse game. This is a move about how emotions can boil over when you're stuck in a metal box with someone for a long journey. While yesterday, yeah, that's right, I released an episode yesterday, keep up, Clayton and I were talking about how logistics can make travel interesting in games. This week, it's all about how feelings can make travel interesting. And we immediately got off topic from Cramped Quarters to a whole slew of other story game travel mechanics. I said this during last week's episode, but I think these two make a great pair. If you're a logistics person, take a listen here for what else travel might mean. And if you like this episode, go back and check out the one with Clayton to get another perspective. But for now, here's Mo with Cramped Quarters. Mo, thanks so much for being here.
Oh my God, thank you for having me.
Yeah, what a delight. So we are talking about Uncharted Worlds today and a move from it. But first, what is Uncharted Worlds?
So Uncharted Worlds, per the book, it calls itself a space opera of discovery and adventure, which explores of a universe full of deadly, beautiful, hostile frontiers, rapacious organizations, and crippling debt. For me, from what I played from it, because I actually ran it on my old podcast, that it is a sci-fi game that covers the range of hard sci-fi, from like small ship to intergalactic planets and colonies and all that. So it's wild.
Yeah, the way you described it to me was Firefly to Star Trek.
Pretty much, because the way you can like build your ships is that you can either have like a small tiny ship of a crew, or you can have this company that you're playing with running around on like a colony of sorts, or like a massive like mega cruiser. And it's a lot.
It's very early PBTA vibes to me, where it's this big chonker of a book. It's probably trying to do too much. It's just sort of understanding that Apocalypse World is super cool and that someone should be hacking that to like make a space traveling sci-fi game, and has decided that there's one of those and it's going to be the only one of those, and so it better include everything in the genre.
That's pretty much it, because it has, like I said, spaceships that are small, like for a Firefly like group to like go off and do rogue stuff, to like orbiting colonies that you can like have like these factions and all this debt and like all this like nitty gritty stuff. And it's like, okay, I get where you're coming from, but like, can you like cut it in half and like do like maybe like Uncharted Worlds Traders Edition or Uncharted Worlds Factions? Like, it's from 2015, so it definitely needs a second edition.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Totally. But we are going to only talk about one tiny little move, one corner of this game. Mm-hmm. So tell us about Cramped Quarters. Why don't you just read us off the move Cramped Quarters verbatim?
Cramped Quarters. When you're trapped in a cramped quarters with the same people for a significant amount of time, like with an interstellar journey, etc., choose a character trapped here with you and roll 2d6. On a 10+, describe how the two of you bonded over the past few days. On a 7 and 9, reveal/discover the answer to their questions about an aspect of yourself or your past. On a 6+, describe what caused the newest hurt feelings or bad blood between you. And I love that. Like, it's just like, it gives you something to do while you're traveling and like adds that little bit of like a slice of life scene. It's gonna be like, okay, you left and now you're there. Like,
yeah, I feel like travel mechanics are, I've been looking for good travel mechanics since I was in the fifth grade. I just love the idea of travel. I mean, it's going back to Lord of the Rings, even. So much of the genres that role-playing games like this spacefaring sci-fi or fantasy, just walking around places, it has always felt like you really want something to cover all the interesting character stuff that can happen as you go from point A to point B. And one way to do that is to just like throw in bunch of adventures. Like the first campaign I ever played in, We were trying to walk 500 miles, and every 50 miles or so, the GM, my dad, would be like, here's a weird thing that you encounter on the road. And great, that was like a totally fine way to do travel, just have a new travel adventure episodically every week, basically. But
yeah,
having actual rules for the travel time is hard. Like, it took forever for me to find a game that I thought did that well. And looking at this, mm-hmm. like, I think this does that really well. Like, this is really cool.
Yeah, and it could easily be plucked out of a sci-fi game and moved into a fantasy game.
Yeah, there's nothing genre-specific about this, really.
Instead of, like, throwing in a random encounter, like, you can have just a quiet day on the road for once and, like, have roleplay.
Yeah.
And I'd rather have roleplay to combat, but that's just me in my games.
Yeah, in some ways you could even plug this move into a random encounter table.
Mm-hmm.
Because this move is kind of interesting in that it doesn't have any stats assigned to it. There are a number of moves like this in Uncharted Worlds where they're just like, well, we want to have mechanics for like XYZ things, but it wouldn't make sense to tie them to your character's abilities. So just roll some dice to see how it goes. And I think like a lot of modern PBTA games would look at that and take the dice out of it entirely. But it'd be really easy to imagine this as being like, 10 plus, describe how you bonded over the past couple of days. 7 to 9, describe what the newest hurt feelings are. And 6 or less, roll on the monster table and see who,
and
like,
see, like, if
out.
There's like an encounter instead of like you like working together. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I ran it for my podcast, I actually was able to like flesh this out and see. And, you know, of course you do the role play first and then, you know, you kind of like throw the mechanic in there and then like try to like see where because of the results kind of tilt how the scene ends, because that's how I did it. And then it's in bad blood. I felt bad. But they had fun. So, like, you know.
Yeah, so were you making this move at the end of scenes?
I was kind of, like, doing it, like, halfway, because I was, like, they started role-playing, and I was, like, you know, that's... And how you use PBTA is, like, they start the scene, and it feels like it's going in a direction. I'm, like, hey, let's just roll the dice and see out of the three ways, like, which way you'll go. And
it sounds like you've triggered a move. Yeah, let's do the move. Like, that's what it's here for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you set the scene, see the scene's going, it triggers the move, we roll for the move, grant quarters, and then, like, we follow the descriptions of, like, what the outcome of that dice roll was.
Yeah, I played a long campaign of The Watch where we handled things really similarly. There's a move in that game that's just like, oh, you were trying to, like, bond with someone? Like, how did it go? And we had the bad habit of always doing the whole roleplay scene and then getting to the end of being like, well, let's roll to see how that went, when it's very clear from the fiction how it went.
Yeah.
And
that's why I always kind of like stop in the middle. I'm like, hey, by the way, I see that you're triggering the scene. Let's,
we
before we get to anywhere in particular.
A thing that I like about this move is that I think you could also do this move at the very top of a scene. You could say, like, I know we want to have a cramped quarters scene here. That's just what makes sense in the fiction right now. So let's roll and see what kind of scene that ends up looking like.
Oh, or yes, perfectly.
Even if it's not a whole scene, just saying, reveal, discover the answer to their question about an aspect of yourself or your past. Just saying, we're sitting around one night and you tell me a story about your past. What is it? Mm-hmm. If that's the end, then you like tell me a little detail about your time in the war or whatever and how it was bad. Cool. Like, that really flavors the travel time we just did.
Yeah, I can see it, like, sort of, like, setting up the scene, too. It also helps players who are probably new to the scene, too, like, the newer to PBTA, who, like, are, like, I don't really know how to, like, start a scene, or, like, I don't really know exactly, like, how to roleplay in a PBTA game, because they're so used to, like, the narrative of, like, maybe D&D, for example, where, like, everything's, like, procedural, mechanical.
Yeah. The thing I like about this mechanic mechanically is that it's essentially a whole downtime system in, you know, 6 lines of text or something.
Yeah.
Where, like, going off the thing you just said about helping people roleplay, a problem of something like Blades in the Dark even is people looking at the, like, mechanical results of downtime actions and thinking that is the entire purpose of downtime, is to do the mechanical things. And a scene like this, or, you know, Blades, if you're in the headspace that I played in, is about taking those mechanics and turning them into scenes. And this just gets to skip over that part. It's just, here's a interesting character beat. Here's an interesting flavor thing you might do, like a baton to take and run with on your own.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I can get that, because sometimes it can be overwhelming if you don't have someone who's like a steady hand.
Yeah.
Because I will admit, Blade does like a crunchier PBTA, and I don't crunch too well.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, okay, what are we doing now? It's okay, yeah. End thing. We have all these steps that we need to do. I thought the game was done. Okay. All right. A little bit more.
Yeah. But this skips you over all the mechanical crunch that you could use to fill out downtime and talk about, like, how do we reduce the level of harm that my character is currently experiencing, and how do we make the heat, the number of GTA stars that our crew has accumulated, how do we mechanically do that? It skips all of that, and it gets to the actual interesting part of travel, which is what changes in our character relationships because of this.
Yeah. I just like telling stories with friends and having a way to, like, be able to tell more stories in, like, a simple thing of, like, travel is nice. It lets you just sit in the moment, you know, instead of, like, combat, mystery, running away from something, etc. You're just sitting in the moment of the play, and I think that's nice.
Yeah.
That's why I also like, you know, GMless games. So.
Yeah. I appreciate that every result of this role is good and interesting. And in some ways, you don't even need to roll the dice to use this move and to make this move interesting. If you're traveling and you know you want to pick a fight with one of your crewmates, you can just say, what's caused the most hurt feelings or bad blood between us? Like, you can just kind of go for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're in a group that is more interested in that kind of free-form play than on, you know, 100% respecting the mechanics and the dice all the time. I like this as, like, a palette of scenes that you might pick from and build into something else for travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice. But if you don't know and, like, you're newer to PBTA, it definitely helps, like, guide what the story can go.
100%.
Or if you just want to, like, see where the dice take you, you know.
Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to kind of say, is that it feels like good training wheels to me, mm-hmm. where if I'm an experienced role player coming into a long travel sequence, and it's like between sessions, I'm just thinking about what do I want to do as a player next session, I'm going to be thinking about exactly the kinds of little scenelets that Cramped Quarters is inspiring you to do, right? To think about what's an interesting thing about my past or myself that I might reveal to someone else, or how might I pick a fight with someone, or how might I bond with someone else? What's an interesting kind of scene around that that I might frame next time? Whereas if I'm not experienced, I'm going to enjoy doing all those things in the same way, but I'm not going to know that that's what I should be thinking about. And this move comes in and is just like, roll the dice so you don't have to choose. And all of these things are going to lead to a good scene.
Yeah. Role play.
Role play.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have other things about this that you're interested in?
Not this move in particular.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to think. I do love the move. Like I said, it can be taken out from sci-fi into anything that has any remote sort of travel. Because everybody's got a past.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to get along. Some people may get along, So I think it's good. And like, if I ran something that was a little more like fantasy or anything like that, I would definitely add it in.
Yeah. You know, our friend Victor, when you first brought this up, mentioned Stonetop's Keep Company move. And I wasn't able to get a copy of the Stonetop PDF, so I don't know if this is accurate. But a version of the move that he sent along to me is basically a diceless version of this. It's basically, when you spend a stretch of time together, ask the others if they want to keep company. And if they do, take turns asking a PC or NPC one of the following questions. And then it's a bunch of questions that are really similar to the kinds of scenes that Cramped Quarters is going to produce, right? It's, what do you do that's annoying or endearing? Who or what seems to be on your mind? How do we pass the time? Stuff like that. And I think that's an interesting way to make this dice list, to just sort of explicitly say, here's a menu of options that you might pick from for what to do with the scene. But I also think it's interesting how that game's move really lowers the stakes on it. Mm-hmm. Like, Cramped Quarters is really trying to push you into a whole scene, it feels like, with describe what caused the newest hurt feelings or bad blood between you. That's just higher stakes than, like, what did I do that was annoying, you know?
Yeah.
And that smallness of a travel move also kind of feels right, where a lot of travel to me feels like the building up of bad blood that is eventually going to explode into a moment that is not about travel after the travel or whatever else is causing you to spend a bunch of time together.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like more of a, just keeping your ideas in mind, at least the Stone Top one is like more of a, like you mentioned, a subtle approach to things instead of like being insane. It's just more of like getting a beat on how your character feels in this moment.
Yeah. I mean, there's something about travel in RPGs at large that I really like, is the way that it feels like it should focus you more onto smaller moments and details than onto big plot points. Like, big plot points are things that happen at places, whereas travel is this more ephemeral time that is still really interesting to me, but it feels about like building up to the destination more.
Yeah, I can see that, which is nice. It's nice to just have these moments of just, like, chill, quietness, like, and just be present.
Yeah.
Hey, you! You don't look familiar. First time in this part of the city? I see that sneer on your face. Better wipe it off before I do it for you. This is home. This is the best place you could ever want to be. Whether or not this is where you meant to end up, you found yourself on a rather fortuitous street. You see that corner building down there? 3 floors up. Lamplight Investigative Services. Friends of mine, you ask. Loaded words you're throwing around this evening. Good people is what they are, though. Not a single one of them will admit to being nice. Something about duty, yada yada. A bunch of BS, if I do say so myself. Who am I? No need to worry your pretty little head about that. I'm sure my name will come up in time. But go. See for yourself. 3 floors up. Gold-gilded sign. As for Mama, don't tell him I sent you. She'll know what to do.
All doors are just windows that we can't see through. You ever think about that?
We provide our patrons with anonymity.
Hello, this is Mama Amoretta speaking.
Lamplight Investigations, a Thirsty Sword Lesbian's noir mystery. Full season available now on QueerPG.
Are there other things about travel in RPGs at large that you like or that you're particularly interested in? Or other games that you think do it well?
I mean, Wander Home has traveling in it, but I don't think it has as a mechanic, if I'm thinking correctly. Oh, I don't have the book. I was going to look. But
I mean, it has. One of the ways that you get a token in Wander Home is by, I'm going to get the exact wording wrong, but like stopping to marvel at the world and its beauty.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And you can do that at a location, obviously. You can look at the, like, I think grandeur is one of the words in the move trigger. So it's really asking you to admire, like, a landscape. And it's a lot easier to say, oh, we're going to pass this landscape and I'm going to admire it. And then that landscape and I'm going to admire it. Than to do that kind of repeatedly at a destination. But yeah, there's a lot of implicit travel even in Wander Home. And then you get to a location and you do stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
That whole game has that feeling of traveling, though, where, like, even when you're at a location, it's because this is where you're camping out for the night most of the time.
Yep. It's about the journey, and it's about the travel, and it's about the stories that you have on your adventures.
Yeah. I want to do a whole episode about this at some point, but the other game that I think really revolutionized how I think about travel in RPGs is For the Queen.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Where
it just asks you questions about the travel and, like, how you're traveling. Yeah.
It's like you've got this deck of cards, and, like, towards the bottom of the deck is shuffled this, the queen is under attack card. So you know your journey is going to be interrupted. Like, you have this level of irony as players where you know that the journey is going to be interrupted and the queen that you're traveling with is going to be attacked. But in the meantime, every turn is just answering one provocative question about your relationship to the queen and, like, maybe what's going on while you're traveling, but probably not even.
Yeah.
And it's basically all flashback to this one moment that you know is coming. So you know you're all on this journey. Maybe you're narrating, like, what's going on that journey. But it's so much more about what happened and, like, where you were even before the journey started. Mm-hmm. And I think it really captures that feeling of almost nostalgia that I think travel can bring on. Like, the quietness that allows for self-reflection.
Oh, yes, for sure. Because, you know, what else are you going to do?
Yeah. And I think that's something that the middle result of Cramped Quarters especially does really well, too, of, you know, reveal slash discover the answer to someone's question about an aspect of yourself or your past. That is the exact sort of self-reflection and then sharing or interrogating that self-reflection with others that I think is the most beautiful that travel can be.
Yeah. And then, like, also questions during the travel, too, or, like, I just pulled out my deck to, like, flip through mm-hmm. it while we're talking. What did you bring with you that endangers the queen?
Yeah.
Or, like, how does the queen remind you of her status while on the journey?
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful game of just, like, questions and thoughts and reflection of, like, this character you never really thought you'd ever develop, and then you just through questions alone, you develop a character.
Yeah.
All you do, you develop a character by not only questions alone, it's also by a single photo of what the queen looks like.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. That's all the backstory that you have, really.
Honestly, this is just a For the Queen podcast now.
Sorry. This is Sam and Mo taking over a For the Queen podcast.
I even like playing For the Queen without the art of the queen, because as much as each one of those pieces of art is so evocative and beautiful.
And they're so, like, different, and, like, they just all give different energies.
They're so unique. Like, they're all by different artists, so uh-huh. they all have such a different feel. I like playing without them because I think people come up with the wildest, like, settings and world buildings for that game if you just let them run absolutely free. And really, it's all just from these, like, kind of provocative questions, and that's just it. And then you get all this backstory and you get the whole vision of this journey and all the places you're going on it and everything. It's really just, that's how you do travel right there.
Yeah, it's very nice because it's, the reflection of self and then, like, having the conversations with each other by answering these questions openly.
Yeah.
With the group, and other people can, like, chime in or, like, have, like, small interactions with your own character, but it's mainly about you mm-hmm. and your character and how their direct relation is with the queen.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a thing that happens in that game, too, that I want to tie back to Cramped Quarters, where every time it's someone new's turn and you draw a card, you just intuitively feel that you've gone another day on your journey, mm-hmm. or another 6 hours or something. But you're like another step forward. Time it has passed on the trip. And in the same way with Cramped Quarters, the game advice around this move includes text that's like, when you're on a journey, roll 2 or 3 times. And or however many times you think is appropriate based on the length of the journey. Yeah. And you can feel in that if you're using this to set scenes up in the first place, like, every one of these is going to be the encapsulation of a unit of time on the journey. But that's so implicit. It's such a rhythm of play thing acts as metaphor for the time of travel in your characters' lives in this very strange and, I think, intuitive way.
And for me, like, I love just roles like this or, like, scene setting like this because I love character connections. I love
mm-hmm.
how they can develop, how they can fall apart, how they can, you know, the bond can be tighter. Like, I love how they can dive deeper. And it's just by rolling dice and, like, having explicit mechanics that's set up for this sort of play. Because if you didn't have these mechanics, you probably wouldn't be doing it, you know?
Yeah. And it's easy to imagine, too, how you could tie the, like, number-y kinds of mechanics, like the stats of your character, to this move or a move like it in another game.
Yeah.
Like, it's easy to imagine a move that's like, when you spend time with another person in order to reduce your stress or to recover from an exhausting circumstance or whatever, like, do one of these things. And on a success, clear 3 stress, and on a partial success, clear 1 stress, and on a failure, you got 1 more stress, sorry. Like,
you tried, but it did not work out.
Yeah, and you don't need that. That all feels like extra juice on top of like the core thing of like, let's do some scenes and some character bonding, but but there's that space to tie that together if that's a thing that your game has.
Yeah. It's like Mass, for example, has comfort and support, where like you're trying to comfort and support each other. Or I'm sorry, it's comfort or support, but it should be comfort and support. But like, anyways,
I'm only comforting, but I'm secretly judging you.
Yeah, I'm secretly judging you.
I support you, but it's harsh love only. Those are the two options.
Like, it's tough love, buddy. Like, I am. Yeah. It's funny because actually I'm playing a character in like a game right now that is actually has this thing that involves care support. We're playing the Scion. Basically, it's like the child of like a supervillain. And it's called White Lies, or it's called something. And like anytime you comfort support by telling white lies, you roll with something else instead of like with mundane.
Interesting.
Because like you don't really know how exactly like show care and support because like you never had it yourself.
Yeah. The only thing you know how to do is like lie to people to make them feel better.
Yeah.
Well, that gives me the idea of making a custom version of Cramped Quarters, like a custom travel move for every given playbook in a game. That feels like something you could certainly come up with, too.
Like almost, I don't want to say like the sex moves in Monster Hearts, but it's like kind of, because they're all sort of like, you do this thing and this affects your character in a customized way.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think that's a good comparison, really, where if we're just doing Dungeons & Dragons fantasy, a move where the wizard on the travel time has to do the spell preparation and you find some way to like bring other people into that process.
Like taking a break and going out in the woods to find like ingredients.
Yeah. Or, you know, you can easily imagine a priest who has to like pray to their god and do the travel move, like on the travel move, like how are you praying to your god and doing that thing. I'm sure there's a way to like genericize that too and say like what's a habit or a routine that you get into while you're traveling. But I bet you could write some like interesting playbook specific archetype specific moves, even in like a sci-fi setting like Uncharted Worlds, about what is travel like for you specifically.
Well, if, you know, Uncharted Worlds had a thing called a playbook, that would be great, but they don't. So,
do you have final thoughts on travel in RPGs or Cramped Quarters in particular?
I think instead of just having violence and fighting all the time, there should be moments of self-reflection and bonding. So,
yeah,
I think more people should look into it and do it, especially if they have games that travel.
Yeah. Have travel in your games. It's cool and interesting.
If your game does traveling. Don't have it randomly if it's not a thing.
Just cram it in there into your game about your like one small community and never leaving it. You got to make sure you have travel moves in that game.
Oh my gosh. Travel from grandma's house to your house.
Yeah.
And avoid the big bad wolf.
God, that sounds like a lyric game that's going to come out and be about assembling a playlist and, you know.
One called Road Trip, where you're actually making like a remix of songs.
That is a real game.
Is that
an Avery Alder game that involves making a playlist for a road trip?
Oh, maybe. Okay, so it's called Ribbon Drive. I found it.
Ribbon Drive creates stories about letting go on the open road, and we all work both further and complicate this agenda during the game. Cool. Yeah.
I like that.
Thanks again to Mo for being here. You can find them on Twitter at Serena Bezos. You can also join the Dice Exploder Discord. Come and talk about the show if you want to. As always, you can find me on Blue Sky, Twitter, Dice.camp, and Itch at S. Dunnewald. Our logo was designed by Sporgory, and our theme song is Sunset Bridge by Purely Gray. Thanks as always again to you for listening. See you next time.